Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, The History of the Life of Ajamila, Text 28 to 29. Sapasha Hamstam Srindrishtva. Purushan Ati Darunan. Vakratundan Udvaramna. Atmanam Netum Agatan. Dure Kridanapka Saktam. Putram Narayana Vayam. Plavitena Sarena Uchar. Ajuhava Kulendriyaha. So, that person, Ajamila, Pasha Hastan, having ropes in their hands, Trin, three, Drishtva, seeing, Purushan, persons, Atidarunan, very fearful in their features. Vakratundan, with twisted faces. Urdhvaramna, with hair standing on the body. Atmanam, the self. Netum, to take away. Agatan, arrived. Dure, a short distance away. Kridanaka, asaktam, engaged in his play. Putram, his child. Narayana, avayam, name Narayana. Plavitena, with fearful eyes, with tearful eyes. Swarena, with his voice. Uchai, very loudly. Ajuhava, called. Akula Indriha, being full of anxiety. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Ajamila then saw three awkward persons with deformed bodily features, fierce, twisted faces, and hair standing erect on their bodies. With ropes in their hands, they had come to take him away to the abode of Yamaraj. When he saw them, he was extremely bewildered. And because of attachment to his child, was playing a short distance away, Ajamila began to call him loudly by his name. Thus, with tears in his eyes, he somehow or another chanted the name of Narayana. Purport, a person who performs sinful activities performs them with his body, mind, and words. Therefore, three order carriers from Yamaraj came to take Ajamila to Yamaraj's abode. Fortunately, even though he was referring to his son, Ajamila chanted the four syllables of Hari Nama, Narayan. And therefore the order carriers of Narayan, the Vishnu Dutas, also immediately arrived there. Because Ajamila was extremely afraid of the ropes of Yamaraj, he chanted the Lord's name with tearful eyes. Actually, however, he never meant to chant the holy name of Narayan. He meant to call his son. Sapasha hastam trindrishtva purushan ati darunan vaktra tundan urdva ramna atmanam netum agatan Tare kridana kasakdam putram narayana vayam plavitena sarenot shar ajuhava kulendriha. Ajamila, then saw three awkward persons with deformed bodily features, fierce, twisted faces, and hair standing erect on their bodies. With the ropes in their hands, they had come to take him away to the abode of Yamaraj. When he saw them, he was extremely bewildered, and because of attachment to his child, who was playing a short distance away, Ajamila began to call him loudly by his name. Thus, with tears in his eyes, he somehow or another chanted the holy name of Narayan. As we've heard before, at the end of the fifth chapter, Shukadeva Goswami, after describing the cosmic creation, described the hellish planets also. Pariksha Maharaj, being a compassionate Vaishnav, was concerned about all the people suffering in hell, and all the people in the future would suffer in hell, especially since this is right before Kali Yuga begins, where many, many people become eligible to meet and greet the Yamadutas. And therefore he was wondering if there is any way of counteracting this horrible circumstance or situation where people, due to their sinful activities, will have to go to hell. Shukadeva Goswami is bringing up an example from past history of Ajamila to illustrate the power of the holy name. It's not by accident he's bringing up this particular instance, because as we know, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nashdeva, 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 Ganti Anyata, that the method of deliverance in this age is chanting the holy name. And therefore, Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishna, Sango Pangasra Parshadam, Jagnai Sankirtana Praya Yanti Hi Sumedasa. Those who have some Medasa, some brains, they'll chant Hare Krishna. Many people think that these people on the street chanting, they're crazy. That they have no occupation, they have no material success, and therefore they're simply mindlessly and endlessly chanting Hare Krishna. Sridhar, Kolavekar Sridhar, was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, living near where we have now our Jagannath Temple in Mayapur. And Kolavekar Sridhar made his living by selling banana leaves, bananas, banana flowers, etc. But in Bengal, these things are quite common, and therefore it is not a very big business. There are bananas everywhere, and banana trees everywhere. But somehow or another, Lord Chaitanya would come by every day and bargain with Kolavekar Sridhar over bananas and banana leaves, banana flowers, banana root. And they'd argue for some time every day. And then sometimes Lord Chaitanya would snatch the bananas and just walk away with them. Because he was a Brahmin, therefore he claimed that he could take whatever he wanted. When it was time for the Srivas Anga, when Lord Chaitanya was revealing his Mahaprakash, his different forms to his different devotees during a 23-hour kirtan, then he asked Kolavekar Sridhar, when he came before him and he manifested himself as Krishna and Balaram, Lord Chaitanya. I'd like to give you something. Maybe I can give you, make you the king on this planet. And Kalavetara Sridhar said wasn't interested. All right. I'll give you a little bit extra. What about the king of some heavenly planet? No, I'm not really interested. What about the lord of the whole universe? No interest. So what do you want? He said, I simply want you to come every day in your form as a young Brahmin and bargain with me for my bananas and my banana leaves. Now Kalavetara Sridhar was so poor that he was living in a hut, and the hut had no roof because he couldn't afford to repair it. And therefore, in the rainy season, he'd get a shower the whole day. And he still, although he was hardly making any money, whatever paisa he was making, paisa, 100 paisa is 1 rupee, he'd give 50% of that in charity to worship the river Ganges. His common practice was he'd stay up all night and he would be chanting Hare Krishna. But his neighbors were not very devotional, especially not devotees of Krishna. They were devotees of Durga. And therefore they imagined that Kalavetara Sridhar, he was howling at night. They didn't take it that he was chanting. When they heard him chanting Hare Krishna, they thought he was howling because he was worshipping Krishna rather than Durga. Therefore, he was making hardly any money. And because he was making hardly any money, he had nothing to eat except for bananas. And therefore, at night, he was howling out of hunger. Through the hunger pains in his stomach, he was howling. So they threatened him. He said, if you don't start worshipping Durga and make some money, we're going to pick up you and your thatched house and throw you into the Ganges so we can get some sleep at night. So what to speak of now, even in the time of Lord Chaitanya, people did not understand many people didn't understand the importance of chanting the holy name. Of course, we find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he's God himself, he became attractive to many people in Navadvip, and at the time of the Qazis forbidding the Sankirtan movement, Lord Chaitanya was able to organize a civil disobedience movement and change the Qazi's mind so that it became allowed to chant Harinam in Navadvip. And even today we can see many Sankirtan groups go all around Navadvip chanting Hare Krishna, and no government is harassing them. You don't need a permit in Navadvip to chant Hare Krishna. Now, still people don't understand, because it seems there are so many more authorized ways of becoming self-realized or solving one's problems. Nowadays, the Hatha Yoga system is very popular. Meditation, very popular. So many of the things are popular. But also now the Kirtan movement in many parts of the world. I don't know about here. Are there some yoga groups here in Ljubljana? Do they also have Kirtan evenings and things? Do you know? What's that?
Their own, you mean?
They have their own? Yeah. They have Kirtan evenings. Oh, okay. They're starting. Yeah, because they're getting bored. I mean, there's only so many. If your nose touches your toe, then what's beyond that? What if it goes 1 inch beyond your toe, does the sky open up and God come down in a chariot and take you back? After a while, it doesn't matter how many inches your nose goes to your toe, you find out it's more or less the same. Therefore, they want something different. And because the aim of the yoga system is ultimately to control the mind. The yamas and the yamas, what you're supposed to do, what you're not supposed to do. The asanas, the pranayama, the pratyahara, the dharana, dhyana, and samadhi are all meant for mental control and ultimately to fix the mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That was achieved in Satyuga, Krite Tadayato Vishnu, by the process of meditation. There was no distraction in Satyuga in general, so people could sit comfortably, and they didn't sit at a desk all day long. They were physically, everything was quite regulated in Satyuga. The rains came at the right time. The sun came at the right time. The food that was grown was all organic and very nutritious. The water was all pure. You didn't have to buy bottled water. People's minds were peaceful. There was no, practically speaking, wars over oil. If there was any war, it was all based on religious principles. So people had a peaceful mind. They weren't distracted by internet or magazines or television or, practically speaking, at least for the sages, gossip, because people were generally pious. And therefore people could sit down in one place, as we find in the Nectar of Devotion, and by a little pranayama, meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead and perform devotional service in their minds to Krishna. And that way their minds became purified and many of them became eligible to go back to the spiritual world. But when people started to, at least some people got bored from meditation and started to eat a little bit more than necessary, then Treta Yuga started. And therefore, they had to change the method of spiritual elevation slightly to sacrifice, so that people would get over this desire to accumulate material assets so they can eat more. And they, when they utilize their extra energies in the sacrifice, then their minds became peaceful and then they could meditate on Krishna. But as people became, the Treta Yuga drew to a close and people became lusty, more lusty, then sacrifice wasn't sufficient because they wanted to eat even, they still wanted to gratify their senses, and therefore temple worship was introduced so that people could regulate their lives by the temple worship, only eat food offered to Krishna, have a regulated life, and therefore be willing to sacrifice for Krishna. And when they were willing to sacrifice for Krishna, then their minds became peaceful, and therefore they were able to meditate in trance upon the Personality of Godhead. Kali Yuga, we're neither regulated, nor are we willing to sacrifice anything, either by charity or austerity. Jagna tapas tata danam. Was that Abhayam Satyasam Shudira Jnana Yoga Vyastiti Dhanam Dhamma Sajagnascha. People's senses are not controlled, they're not utilizing Krishna's service, and therefore there is no question of, or they don't give in charity to Krishna, and they don't perform sacrifice. Therefore they don't come to the platform of willing to perform tapasya, austerity, tolerance, fixing the mind upon Krishna. Preliminarily, in the Vedic culture, one would hear about Krishna, study the philosophy, become a servant of the guru in the gurukul, and therefore learn the basic principles of self-realization. And if one was very advanced as a brahmachari, one could immediately learn tolerance, more and more tolerance, so that the mind could be fixed upon Krishna in spite of any kind of difficulty Or if one learns how to fix the mind upon Krishna, then in spite of any difficulty, one will not be disturbed. But when that's not possible, one is not so tolerant, and one is distracted by material urges, which is the reason why we're not tolerant, because we're distracted by material desires. Therefore, dana, dhammas, and yajna are given in the household life, so that one can learn how to sacrifice for Krishna, and when the mind is, one can sacrifice for Krishna by utilizing one's energies in the service of Krishna, being willing to, then one can sacrifice for Krishna, and when one sacrifices for Krishna, then one can think about Krishna, and when one thinks about Krishna, then one can actually become tolerant and develop the transcendental qualities. So tolerance is more or less the division. If we learn tolerance, matra sparshas dukondiya shitoshna sukadukada, learn tolerance of our material desires, then we can transcend them by becoming Krishna conscious. But if we're not tolerant of our urges or our senses, then there's no possibility of transcending material energy. Therefore, we're not going to experience the higher taste of Krishna consciousness. So, in Kali Yuga, when we're not regulated, we're not willing to sacrifice, and therefore our minds are all over the universe, trying to find some peace and security and happiness. Therefore, Harinam Sankirtan is introduced. So, just by chanting Hare Krishna, it's taken as a sacrifice. Of course, we should, to get the full effect of chanting Hare Krishna, we have to not only chant Hare Krishna, but to develop the qualities of the other ages. It's not that Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwarapa Yuga, they've come, they've gone, we have no interest in the qualities they developed in those ages. The chanting is supposed to help us develop those qualities, like regulation, the willingness to sacrifice, and meditation. There's only one path, but it may be introduced in a variety of ways in different ages. So, of course, here the example is given because it just is appropriate. Ajamil apparently was not Krishna conscious, but still some arrangement was made that he called out the holy names with great feeling. So on one side, the acharyas are trying to, and Prabhupada is trying to emphasize the agyata sukriti, the wonderful effect of chanting Hare Krishna, although one is not necessarily aware of what one is doing. On the other hand, it's clear from our acharyas' purports, and Prabhupada also puts that into perspective, that Ajamil got the wonderful effect because of his past devotional activities. He wasn't a rascal his whole life, and he named his son Narayan, and he chanted Hare Krishna and got free from the Yamadutas. No, he was a dutiful Brahmin son when he was younger, performed devotional activities, worshipping Lord Narayan, and therefore, when he was in a very difficult position, although initially he called out for the holy name, for the name of his son, also he remembered by Krishna's mercy Narayan himself. And therefore his chanting became devotional and the Vishnu Dutas came to save him. So again, we should understand that in this age, when people are not very much inclined to any kind of religious principles, what to speak of spiritual principles, the supreme spiritual principle, surrendering to Krishna. Therefore, anything people can do in this age in terms of either chanting Hare Krishna according to having received it from the proper sources, from the devotees of Krishna, or trying to understand the process of chanting Hare Krishna, trying to understand who we actually are and what we're supposed to be doing here, are very, very auspicious. Even so much that Prabhupada said, if the people simply touch these books that we're trying to distribute, then even by doing that, they get benefited. Touching any old book doesn't give them much benefit. But if they touch these books, for different reasons, one is that obviously the devotee, generally speaking, the devotee who's handing the book is in Krishna consciousness, and when they touch the book, they'll see a picture of Lord Krishna, and therefore some impression is made there. And that by that impression, it's not that their life has become perfect, they're going back to the spiritual world just by touching the book, but at least they're on a path of making some future progress towards going back to the spiritual world. Therefore, we ask people to chant Hare Krishna. We chant Hare Krishna. Some people will take advantage of it, and others may not take advantage, but that's why Krishna gives everyone free will. He's not forcing anyone to go back to the spiritual world, as the devotees used to do. Prabhupada saw one cartoon. I don't know if there was a word cartoon. It's not exactly cartoons. But anyhow, these drawings, and in the drawing it showed one devotee in an airport distributing books. And our reputation wasn't very good at that time, how we distributed the books. So the next slide, the next picture, was a man walking down the airport aisle, and then the devotee has his hand out, big hand, to greet him. Hi, where are you coming in from? And the man puts out his hand, and they meet, the hands meet, and then there's a big cloud comes up, and there's a fist here, and there's leg here out of the cloud. And the next picture is the man's on the ground unconscious, and he has a book stuffed out of his mouth, and the next picture is a devotee walking away over, counting his money, the lakshmi. That was more or less our reputation at that time. Extreme way of distributing books, very effective though. Give him a book they can't refuse. But there are better ways of attracting people also, because by the time they wake up and take the book out of their mouth, they may not be inclined to read it. So we do want people to come in contact with this philosophy and the knowledge so they can become benefited. And if they choose not to, then that's between them and Krishna, and the material nature will encourage them, as Kali Yuga goes on, to take shelter of Krishna. That the material we can't expect things to get better in Kali Yuga. They'll simply get worse and worse and worse until people actually seriously take up the chanting of the holy name. And at least for us, if we seriously take the chanting of the holy name, then at least things will get better for us spiritually. Maybe not materially. That's according to our previous karma and Krishna's desire and will. But at least for our real selves, the soul, then things will get better for us. We'll become more and more conscious and more blissful and more or less free from anxiety and fear. So I'll stop there. Khala. What is it? Pitanya is here. It's what's that? Prashana, like Varshana. Uprashana. Uprashana. Prashana. But it sounds, it rhymes with Varshana. Uprashana. Uprashana. Uprashanya. Uprashanya. It's like the R with it in Russian. Uprashanya. Yes.
Any person meets who is sinful meets Yamadutas, or is similar as that prayer of the embryo, the child. It's only Raja. How was that? Not everyone prays to the Lord in the womb, but special.
The rishis.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, the rishis.
Is any information about the that every soul who is sinful meets Yamadutas or is specially sinful or just as in this case?
Well, since every soul is sinful, probably in Kali Yuga, it says that Yamaraj, he took birth as Vidura because he knew he had to overwork in Kali Yuga. He had a full schedule in Kali Yuga, so he wanted to take his vacation early. So I guess he's quite overworked in Kali Yuga. So many, many souls. You know where the cutting point is? That I don't really know.
So everybody has a vision of Yamadutas.
Well, they're not a vision. They come and actually take people to hell. This is a big line. Sometimes it takes a while to get there because there's so much traffic on the road going to hell that there's a traffic jam.
They have place.
What's that?
They have enough place.
In hell?
Yeah.
Well, there special construction goes on in Kali, accommodate all the souls there. But they're all going their subtle bodies, so there's plenty of room there. But exactly how simple you have to be, I think practically everyone is eligible that I know of, that I've seen. Who's not eating meat? If they're not eating meat, which is a sure way of going to hell, then who's not having illicit sex? Like the Christians are against killing babies in the womb often, against abortion, but they're fully enthusiastic about killing animals and eating them. And while there's a population who are against meat eating, even vegans, but they're fully enthusiastic about illicit sex and even killing children in their womb. So everyone seems to have their eligibility. Anything else? Yes.
Why Ajamil got mercy to remember also Lord himself when he chanted Narayan? When do person really get the benefit when he hears or chants, and when?
Well, when you perform sincere devotional service, then neha bikramanosha sti pratyavayo navidite. On this path there's no loss of diminution, and even a little advancement can protect one from the greatest danger. So he was quite sincere in his youth. But somehow or another, by some arrangement of his karma, he fell down. So although it may seem relatively long, 88 years, but it's insignificant. Brahma lives for 311,040,000,000,000 years. And so his life is just one thousandth of a second of Brahma's life. So although it may seem like he performed a lot of sinful activities, but because he was a dutiful Brahmin, a devotee, in his youth, therefore that was taken into account. But karma is so complicated. It's not how it works and what exactly percentage of devotion and sinful activities have to be there and what happens. Everything is taken into account. But this, out of the trillions of lifetimes of Brahma, or hundreds of trillions and billions of lifetimes of Brahma, this incident is there to show the power of the holy name. It's not it happens to everyone, but this is very special to illustrate the power of chanting Hare Krishna. Anything else? Thank you very much, Kuala. Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.